أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد تنتكتني بالرواد الصالحين of Imam al-Nawawi رحمه الله. Then we reach the last hadith, a long hadith in the chapter 216, Babu Ta'akid, Wujubi Zakat, Wa Bayani Fadliha, Wa Ma Yata'allaku Biha. The chapter of the emphatic obligation of the Zakat, and an explanation of its virtue, and whatever is related to it. So we reached the last hadith, hadith 1222. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من صاحب ذهب ولا فضة لا يؤدي منها حقها إلا إذا كان يوم القيامة صفحت له صفائح من نار فأحمي عليها في نار جهنم فيكوى بها جنبه وجبينه وظهره كلما بردت أعيد أصله في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة حتى يقضى بين العباد فيرى سبيله إما إلى الجنة وإما إلى النار. قيل يا رسول الله فالإبل قال ولا صاحب إبل لا يؤدي منها حقها ومن حقها حلبها يوم وردها إلا إذا كان يوم القيامة بطح لها بقاء قرقر أوفر ما كانت لا يفقد منها فصيلا واحدة تفأه بأخفافها وتعده بأفواهها كلما مر عليه أولاها رد عليه أخراها في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة حتى يقضى بين العباد فيرى سبيله إما إلى الجنة وإما إلى النار. قيل يا رسول الله فالبقر والغنم؟ قال ولا صاحب بقر ولا غنم لا يؤدي منها حقها إلا إذا كان يوم القيامة بطح لها بقاء قرقر لا يفقد منها شيئا ليس فيها أقصاء ولا جرحاء ولا أضباء تنفحه بقرونها وتطأه بأظلافها كلما مر عليه أولاها رد عليه أخراها في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة حتى يقضى بين العباد فيرى سبيله إما إلى الجنة وإما إلى النار. قيل يا رسول الله فالخيل؟ قال الخيل ثلاثة، هي لرجل وزر، وهي لرجل ستر، وهي لرجل أجر. فأما التي هي له وزر فرجل ربطها رياء وفخرا ونواء على أهل الإسلام فهي له وزر، وأما التي هي له ستر فرجل ربطها في سبيل الله ثم لم ينس حق الله في ظهورها ولا رقابها فهي له ستر، وأما التي هي له أجر فرجل ربطها في سبيل الله لأهل الإسلام في مرج أو روضة، فما أكلت من ذلك المرج أو الروضة من شيء إلا كتب له عدد ما أكلت حسنات، وكتب له عدد أروائها وأبوالها حسنات، ولا تقطع طولها فاستن شرفا أو شرفين إلا كتب الله له عدد آثارها وأروائها حسنات، ولا مر بها صاحبها على نهر فشربت منه ولا يريد أن يسقيها إلا كتب الله له عدد شرب حسنات. قيل يا رسول الله فالحمر؟ قال ما أنزل علي في الحمر شيء إلا هذه الآية الفاذة في الجامعة فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره متفق عليه. وهذا لفظ مسلم ومعنى القاع المكان المسوى من الأرض الواسع والقرقر الأملس. And from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه who said, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is no owner of gold or silver who does not pay what is due upon them, except that when it is the day of resurrection, they will be made into sheets of fire for him, and they will be heated fiercely in the fire of hell, and his sides, his forehead, and his back will be branded with them. Whenever they cool down, they will be reheated for him on a day whose length will be 50,000 years until judgment is passed upon the servants, until his destination is seen either to paradise or otherwise to the fire. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, then what about camels? He said, nor any owner of camels who does not pay what is due upon them. And from what is due upon them is milking them on the day when they are brought to drink. Providing milk on the day when they are brought to drink. Except that he will be thrown down flat upon the ground for them, upon a vast open plain, and they will all be present, fully grown, and he will not miss even a single young camel, and they will trample upon him with their hooves, and they will bite him with their mouths. Whenever the first of them has passed over him, it will be returned at the end of them, on a day whose length will be 50,000 years, until judgment is carried out upon the servants, and his destination is seen either to paradise or to the fire. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, then what about cows and sheep? He said, nor any owner of cows or sheep who does not pay what is due upon them, except that when it is the day of resurrection, he will be thrown down flat upon the ground for them, upon a vast plain. He will not miss anything from them. There will not be amongst them any with twisted horns, nor any hornless ones, nor any with broken horns. They will gore him with their horns and trample him with their hooves. Whenever the first of them has passed over him, it will be returned at the end of them. It will be returned for him at the end of them, on a day whose length will be 50,000 years, until judgment is carried out upon the servants, and his destination is seen either to the paradise or to the fire. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, then what about horses? He said, horses are of three types. For a man, they will be a burden of sin, and for a man, they will be a shield, and for a man, they will be reward. So as for those which will be a burden of sin for him, then a man who keeps them to show off and to boast and to use them in striving against the people of Islam, then for him it will be a burden of sin. And as for those which will be a shield, then a man who keeps them to serve in Allah's cause, then he does not forget Allah's rights concerning their backs and their necks. So for him it will be a shield. And as for those that will be reward for him, then a man who keeps them for performing jihad in Allah's cause for the people of Islam in a grazing area or a meadow. So whatever they eat from that grazing area or that meadow, then the amount that they eat will be written for him as good deeds. And the amount of their dung and their urine will be written for him as good deeds. Nor will they break free of their halting ropes and run free over one hill or two hills, except that Allah will write for him the amount of their footsteps and their droppings as good deeds. Nor will their owner pass over any river, nor will their owner pass over any river, and they drink from it, even though he did not intend to give them drink, except that Allah will write for him the amount of what they drunk as good deeds. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, then what about donkeys? He said, nothing has been sent down to me with regard to donkeys, except for this singular comprehensive ayah. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Two ayahs from the end of Surah Al-Zalzala, the 99th Surah, ayahs 7 to 8, with explanation. So whoever does the weight of a speck of good will see it, and whoever does the weight of a speck of evil will see it. Agreed upon. And this was the wording of Muslim. And the meaning of the word Al-Qa' is a level place of a wide land. And Al-Qarqar is Al-Amlas, meaning a smooth place. As for who reports this hadith, and just as Imam Nawawi rahimahullah said, indeed agreed upon, reported both by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. You'll find it in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari in five places. Firstly, in the book of Al-Musaqat, the book of sharecropping, chapter 12, people and animals drinking from the rivers. And Al-Bukhari here, he just brings the part about the horses, just the section about the horses. Hadith number 2371. And reported by Al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Jihad, chapter 48, that horses are of three types, or three categories. Hadith 2860. And it occurs there in the book of Manaqib, the book of virtues, chapter 28, hadith number 3646, 3646. And in the book of Tafsir, in explanation of the ayah from Surah Al-Zalzala, Idha Zulzilat, hadith number 4963. And finally, in the book of Al-Iqtisam, the book of clinging on to the book and the sunnah, chapter 24, rulings which are known through indications, hadith 7356. And reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, in the book of Zakat, hadith number 987, with this full wording, 987. And also reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan, the book of Zakat, chapter 32, with regard to the rights of wealth, hadith 1658. Reported by An-Nasa'i in Kitab al-Khayl, the book of horses, chapter 1, hadith 3562 and 3563. And reported by Ibn Majah in his Sunan, in the book of Zakat, the second chapter, what occurs with regard to withholding the zakat. Hadith 1786. Reported by others besides, reported by Imam Malik in his Muwatta in Book of Jihad, reported by Imam Ahmad, Abdul Razak in his Musannaf, Al Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban, Abu Awana, and Al Baghawi in Sharh Sunnah, and others beside them. And as for some of the phrases in the hadith, obviously the hadith contains a large number of words, some of them not very common, because of a large number, just to concentrate on some of the phrases that the explainers make a mention of some points regarding. That from them is the phrase with regard to those animals upon whom zakat is not paid, that on the day of resurrection they will be there, they will be fully brought for him, he will be thrown down flat upon the ground, and in the narration of Al-Bukhari that they will trample upon his face, and with the wording, the phrase أَوْفَرَ مَا كَانَتْ لَا يَقْدِرُ مِنْهَا لَا يَفْقِدُ مِنْهَا فَصِيلًا وَاحِدًا لَا يَفْقِدُ مِنْهَا فَصِيلًا وَاحِدًا, that they will be there at their fullest extent, not even a single young camel will be missed out. Then Imam Nawawi said in his explanation of Muslim, there occurs in another wording أَعْظَمُ مَا كَانَتْ, they will be at their greatest size. He said, this will be an addition to the punishment by their being large in number and being strong and being fully grown, so that they will be heavier when they tread. Just the same as those possessors of horns will have their horns, so that they can cause greater injury and are better equipped for piercing and goring. With regard to the phrase فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ, that this will occur on a day whose length will be 50,000 years. Obviously referring to يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, the day of resurrection. With regard to, it will be a day whose length is 50,000 years, then Al-Allama Ali Al-Qari said in his explanation of Mishkat, مِرْقَاتُ الْمَفَاتِيحُ, meaning upon the disbelievers. And it will also be long, it will be made long also upon the rest of the sinners, in accordance with the level of their sins. And as for the complete believers, then upon some of them it will be only like two rak'as before Fajr. And he indicated this, or this is indicated, he said, by his saying, He the Majestic and Most High, يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ, Surah Al-Muddathir, the 74th Surah, Ayahs 9 to 10. With the explanation, it will be a difficult day. Upon the disbelievers, it will not be easy. On the same point, with regard to the day whose length is 50,000 years, then Al-Qurtubi said in his explanation of Muslim, Al-Mufhim, he said, he mentioned some speech, and then he said, and there occurs in the hadith that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, it will be made easier for the believer, it will be reduced in length for the believer, until it is briefer upon him than an obligatory prayer. This hadith, as a side point, that's the end of the quote from Al-Mufhim, and this hadith has been reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Ya'la, and Sheikh Al-Albani said with regard to this hadith, it is da'if, and he's checking about Tarhib or Tarhib, but this hadith is da'if, because a weak narrator in the chain. However, in the same regard, Sheikh Al-Albani does authenticate some hadith with similar meaning. So just to mention two of them, and firstly, the hadith that Al-Imam Al-Mundhiri mentions in At-Tarhib At-Tarhib from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, reciting the ayah, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, ayah 6, the explanation, on the day when the people will stand before the Lord of the whole creation. He said, its length will be half a day, from 50,000 years. But it will be made easier, it will be made lighter for the believer, so that it is like when the sun goes towards setting until it has set. A hadith reported by Abu Ya'la and Ibn Hibban, and Shaykh al-Albani said, with regard to it, sahih, authentic. Likewise, the second hadith in that regard, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, which is part of a longer hadith, and it contains the wording that the people said. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a mention of the day of resurrection. So the people said, so where will the believers be on that day? So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sitting places of light will be made for them, and clouds will shade them. That day will be shorter upon the believers than an hour of the day. Reported by Ibn Hibban, and Shaykh al-Albani said, Hassan. Shaykh al-Albani mentioned some other similar narrations as well. That's two of the ones that Shaykh al-Albani authenticates for, said for Hassan, for Sahih. To carry on with the words and phrases, in the phrase, Al-Khaylu Thalatha, the horses are three types. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said, in his explanation of Al-Bukhari Fathul Bari, he said, the way in which they are limited to three is that the person who acquires horses will either acquire them to ride or to trade in. And each of these two, either they will be connected along with it, performing an act of obedience to Allah, which will be the first one, the first case of the three, or a sin, committing a sin, and that will be the last case of the three, the last case mentioned in the hadith. Or it will be free of either of the two, and that is the second case. Likewise, on the same point, then Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, he said, as occurs in Al-Hulal Al-Ibriziyya, the four-volume book that one of the students of the Sheikh put together, and copied down notes from the Sheikh's lessons, the Sheikh ibn Baz said, rahimahullah, commenting here, he said, and likewise, the same thing is with regard to acquiring aeroplane, or he said the same thing applies to acquiring cars or aeroplanes. Whoever takes them for a good purpose, then there will be reward for him. And whoever takes them as a screen, then likewise, if that's what it will be. And whoever takes them to harm the Muslims and to show enmity towards them, then it will be a burden of sin for him. He said, and it is befitting that a person should make his intention good with regard to cars and food and drink and other than it, so that he can acquire blessing and tremendous reward. As for the phrase ثُمَّ لَمْ يَنْسَ حَقَّ اللَّهِ فِي ظُهُورِهَا وَلَا رِقَابِهَا, he does not forget Allah's right with regard to their backs nor their necks, meaning the horses. Then Imam Nawawi said in his explanation of Muslim, Abu Hanifa uses this as evidence to show the obligation of zakat, of paying zakat upon horses. In this phrase, it's with regard to horses. He doesn't forget Allah's right with regard to them, with regard to their backs and their necks. So Imam Nawawi said, Abu Hanifa uses this as evidence to show the obligation of paying zakat upon horses. And his madhab, his position, was that if the horses are all males, then there will be no zakat upon them. And if they are all females, or a mixture of males and females, then zakat will be obligatory upon them. And he has a choice. If he wants, he can pay one dinar for every horse, or if he wants, he can estimate their value, altogether and give 1/40 away. Whereas Malik and Ash-Shafi'i and the vast majority of the scholars said there is no zakat due upon horses at all, in any case, because of the previous hadith, in Muslim, there is not upon the Muslim any sadaqah, any zakat due upon his horse. And they explain this hadith, the hadith we have in front of us here, they explain this hadith to mean that it is upon him to perform jihad upon it. And jihad may be binding with it when it becomes a specific obligation. Or it is otherwise said, it is possible that what is meant by the right with regard to their necks is his treating them well and taking care of their fodder, the food they need to eat, and the rest of their requirements. And what is meant by their backs is allowing them to be used for breeding if someone requests that they be lent to him. And this is a recommendation. For it is said, what is meant by the right of Allah is that which he earns from wealth from the enemy when he goes out upon their backs. He goes out upon their backs, fights jihad, and gets wealth, booty. That he gives the right of Allah, which is 1/5 of the booty. As for the phrase, فَهُوَ لَهُ sitr, then for him it will be a sitr. Al-Qurtubi said in his explanation of Muslim, al-mufhim, meaning a screen from having to ask other people when he has a need of riding a horse. As for the phrase فَشَرِبَتْ مِنْهُ, as for the phrase of the one who gets reward, فَشَرِبَتْ مِنْهُ, the one who crosses a river with his horse, فَشَرِبَتْ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُسْقِيَهَا. So if he crosses a river with his horse, the one who goes out in Allah's path upon his horse, crosses a river and it drinks from it, even though he did not intend to give it a drink. Then Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam al-Athiyopi said in his explanation of al-Nasa'i al-Zakhirat al-Uqba, he made a point here, he said, so if this is the case, he gets reward, the reward that's mentioned, even when his horse drinks, he didn't even intend to give it a drink, he just drank, so he gets the reward. So he said, meaning, if this is the case, when he did not even intend, then he's deserving the writing down of good deeds when he actually intends something is even more so. And Nawawi said, this is to draw attention here. Because if he gains these good deeds without a direct intention, then when he has a direct intention, he has even more right to receive many times that many good deeds. And he follows this, Sheikh Al-Athiyopi said, he follows this by a saying of As-Sindi in his notes to Al-Nasa'i. He said, As-Sindi said, and this does not run contrary to the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, actions are but by intentions. Because what is binding is that the intention is present in the basic, or in the origin of the action. And when you begin that action, you have the intention. It's there in the very basis of the action. The basic action of keeping the horse. And that is sufficient. He had the correct intention when he had the horse in the first place, that he's going to keep it for going out in Allah's cause. That's sufficient. Then whatever is gained beyond that, he doesn't need the intention for all those specifics to gain the reward for them. In other words. As for the phrase, fi marjin aw rawda, and it will not be in any pasturing ground or any meadow. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said in Fathul Bari, this was a doubt from the narrator, being a doubt which word the Prophet said. Did he say maraj or did he say rawda? Did he say a pasturing ground or did he say a meadow? He said, and what is meant is a place of pasture, a place of fodder for the animal. And this, the word maraj, is mostly used for a low-lying ground. And the word al-rawda, a meadow or a garden, is mostly used for a high place. And finally, with regard to the phrase, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about, what about donkeys then? So he mentioned that nothing has been sent down to me with regard to donkeys except for this singular, this ayah, al-ayatul fadhatul jami'ah, except for this singular comprehensive ayah. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said in Fathul Bari, Ibn Taymiyyah said, what it means is that the ayah indicates that whoever does in his acquiring donkeys an act, is doing an act of obedience, then he will see the reward of that. But if he is doing, in doing so, he is doing an act of disobedience, he will see the punishment for that. Likewise, on the same point, Imam Nawawi said in his explanation of Muslim, the meaning of al-fadha, singular, is that which has very little or little like it. And the word jami'ah means that which is general, covering every good and fine practice. As for the points of benefit that can be taken from the hadith, then amongst them are the following 9 points of benefit. Firstly, that which Imam Nawawi said in his explanation of Muslim, this hadith is a clear statement of the obligation of zakat upon gold and silver, and there is no disagreement about it. And likewise, the rest, with regard to the rest of the things that were mentioned, from camels and cows and sheep. As for the second point of benefit, then that's something which Sheikh Mahmoud As-Subki said in his explanation of Abu Dawood, Al-Manhal Al-Adhab Al-Mawrood, that he said with regard to this hadith, the points of benefit from it, he said that it shows that the person who abandons giving the zakat, it is not stated that he will certainly be in the fire, as long as he does not hold it to be lawful to abandon it. And on the same point, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, hafidhahullah, he said in his lessons and explanation of Abu Dawood, he said, he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imma ilal jannah, until he either sees his destination or his way to paradise. This shows that he does not become a disbeliever, because the disbeliever, there is no way for him to go to paradise. Rather, there is nothing in front of him except for the fire. So the person who abandons the zakat, he withholds, abandons giving the zakat out of laxity, it is taken from him by force, and he will not be a disbeliever. But as for the person who denies its obligation, then he will be a murtad, he will be an apostate, and he will be executed for his apostasy. The third point of benefit, which has some similarity, or at least the first part of it has similarity, then Al-Hafidh Al-Iraqi said in his book, Talh al-Tafrib, he said, referring to the same phrase, he said, it shows that this threat applies to the Muslims and to the disbelievers, because the person who can see his way to paradise, he is the Muslim. And as for the one who can see his way to the fire, then it is possible that that will can be forever. He can see his way to the fire and he's going to be forever there. So he will be the disbeliever, the kafir. And it's possible that it will be in the manner of punishment and purification, and then that he will enter into paradise. And he is a Muslim. So the fact that the Muslim enters into this threat contains a refutation of the murji'ah, those who say that when a person has Islam, no sin can harm him. Just the same as, along with disbelief, no act of obedience can benefit. The Hafidh al-Iraqi said, I've mentioned their saying, the same as the Murji'ah, he said, and the book and the Sunnah are filled with that which runs contrary to their saying. However, they seek to make excuse for themselves by saying what is meant. But all these texts that are proof against the Murji'ah, they try and excuse themselves and say what they mean is just to instill fear and to deter the people from committing sin. But they are not upon their true reality or upon what is apparent. And then he commented, and this is batil, this is false and futile, this answer of theirs. He said, if their saying were correct, then any dependence upon what occurs in the legislation would be removed. And they say, whatever we see a mention of a punishment for such and such, it doesn't really mean punishment, it's just a warning against that sin. It's not literally punishment. He said, if this were true, what they say, this would remove any dependence, any reliance upon whatever occurs in the legislation. And this would be possible with regard to all of that. You could say the same thing with regard to any text. And this would lead to demolition of the revealed laws and their benefit falling away. In other words, this hadith is a proof against the Murji'ah. As for the fourth point of benefit, then Al-Allama Siddiq Hasan Khan said in his explanation of Muslim as Siraj al-Wahhaj, it contains a proof that zakat is not obligatory upon horses, and this is what occurs in the authentic proofs. As for the fifth point of benefit, then Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said in Fath al-Bari with regard to the phrase, he said, وَلَمْ يَرِدْ أَنْ يَسْقِيَهَا, and he didn't intend to water them, the horses. When the horses crossed the river and they drank, he didn't intend to give them a drink. He said, it shows that a person will receive reward for the details which occur whilst he is performing an act of obedience, if he intended the action in its origin, even if he did not intend those details. He intended to do the act, and the act has a lot of details and things that come away from it. He intended the act, but not all the details. He'll still get reward even for all those details, because of his intention in the base of doing that action in its origin. As for the sixth point of benefit, then Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam al-Athiyofi said in Al-Dhakhirat al-Uqba, his explanation of al-Nasa'i, that it is a proof for that which the author gave as a chapter heading, meaning Imam al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is an explanation of the virtue of horses. As for the seventh point of benefit and all the remaining points of benefit from the same Shaykh, from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam al-Athiyofi, in his explanation of al-Nasa'i. So the seventh of them, an explanation that the horses, which are such that good will be tied to their forelocks and blessing, are those that which a person takes for an act of obedience or for permissible matters. Otherwise, there will be something blameworthy. A blessing will be there in horses if a person takes them as an act of obedience to Allah, or for something permissible purpose, not for something forbidden. As for the eighth point of benefit, and again, Sheikh mentioned, that it shows realization of affirmation, of acting upon what is apparent from the texts, and that this is a binding proof, until a proof occurs to show that it's been particularized. Well, he's taking this from the when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked with regard to donkeys, and he mentioned that nothing had been sent down, meaning specifically with regard to donkeys. And he quoted the general ayah with regard to whoever does a speck of good, an amount of good equal to a speck, he will see it. And whoever does a speck's weight of evil, he will see it. So he quoted the general ayah, which was not just specific to donkeys, the general ayah. So you made the point here, just repeat the point. It shows affirmation of acting upon what is apparent from the general texts, and that it is a binding proof, unless there is something to specify it, make it more specific, to restrict it, in other words. As for the ninth point of benefit, and last point of benefit here, and again he said, it contains an indication that there is a difference between a directly stated specific text and a general apparent text, a text which is specific and directly stating the matter. That's one thing, and have a general apparent text. There are two different kinds of text, and that the apparent text is less than a clear textual statement, is less than that in evidence. And the place for this, he said, is in the works of Usul al-Fiqh. In other words, the point he's making is that we have a specific text that directly states what the issue, that is higher than a text which is general and is not specific. As for the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, then he said, in his explanation ending this chapter, he said, with regard to this hadith which the author rahimahullah ta'ala brings in the chapter of the obligation of zakat and the explanation of its virtue, and it is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which Muslim reported at length. In it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned gold and silver and camels and cows and sheep and horses and donkeys, and he mentioned the ruling for each of them alayhi salatu wassalam. And in this manner, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to clearly and fully explain matters to the people, so that he left his nation. When he left them, Allah had, through him, completed the religion and perfected his favour upon the believers. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "There is no owner of gold nor silver who does not pay their due right, except that on the day of resurrection they will be made into sheets of fire for him, and they will be heated in the fire of hell, and his sides and his forehead and his back will be branded with them. Whenever they cool down, they will be reheated for him on a day whose length will be 50,000 years until judgment is passed upon the people. Then he will see his path, his destination, whether it is towards it is to paradise or to the fire." The Shaykh said, "So gold and silver, it is obligatory to pay zakat upon these two things in every condition." So zakat is obligatory upon these two items, gold and silver, whether the person is keeping them to spend, or whether it is for him to get married, or whether he wants to buy a house for accommodation, or whether he wants to keep them to buy a car which he needs to ride, or whether he is storing them just to increase his wealth, or whether it is other than that. So zakat is due upon them, whatever the case. Even the gold of the woman which she wears, and the silver which she wears, the zakat is obligatory upon her. With regard to it, it is obligatory to give the zakat, whatever the case. However, the nisab, the minimum level, the minimum limit from which it's applicable, must be reached. And with regard to gold, it is 85.5 grams. And with regard to silver, it is 595 grams. That's the limit, that's the nisab. If you have that limit or more, and you've had it for a whole year, then it's upon you to pay. And just as a side point here, just to give a rough indication, obviously the gold price varies, and the silver price varies, just roughly at the moment, a rough indication for those who've got very little idea at all. Roughly with regard to 85.5 grams of gold at the moment, the limit for gold from which zakat is payable, then it's roughly £2,500, roughly. And with regard to silver, then 595 grams of silver is roughly £520. Allahu Akbar. But as the Shaykh said, back to it, just exactly what the Shaykh said, he said with regard to gold, the limit is 85.5 grams. And with regard to silver, it's 595 grams. He said, so if a person has silver to this amount, and he has gold to this amount, it's obligatory upon him to pay the zakat, whatever the case. And if he doesn't do so, then his recompense will be that which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that on the day of resurrection, it will be made into sheets of fire for him. The Shaykh said, not sheets of gold or silver, rather of fire and Allah's refuge's sword. Segments of fire, which will be heated in the fire of hell. And the fire of hell is 69 times more severe than the heat of this world. All the heat of this world, even gas fire, it will be that many times more severe. The fire of hell will be 69 parts hotter. We ask Allah to protect us and you from it. So they will be heated in the fire of hell, and he will be scorched, he will be branded with it, his side, meaning his right side and his left side, and his forehead, meaning his face, and his back. And whenever it cools, it will be reheated for him. So it will not be left until it goes cold for him. Rather, whenever it cools, it will be restored on a day whose length will be 50,000 years. Not 1 hour or 2 hours, nor a month, nor 2 months, nor a year, nor 2 years. 50,000 years. And he'll be all that time being tortured with this torture, and Allah's refuge is sought, until judgment is passed upon the servants. Then he will see his way either to paradise or to the fire. So we ask Allah for security and safety. And therefore, this hadith is like an explanation of the saying of Allah the Most High, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبُ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 34. The explanation. And those people who hoard up gold and silver, and they do not spend it in the cause of Allah, give them tidings of a painful punishment. The Shaykh said, explaining the word in the ayah, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ, the expression, those who hoard up. He said, the meaning of يَكْنِزُونَ, they make a kams, they make a hoard or a treasure hoard. So the meaning of hoarding is that they do not pay zakat upon it. That's what it means to hoard. It means that which is zakat is not paid upon. As was explained by the people of knowledge from the companions and the tabi'een and those who came after them. Because that whose zakat is not paid, it is kams, it is hoarded wealth. Even if it is upon the tops of mountains. He's making the point here, you shouldn't just think it's like hoarded gold, like treasure that's buried in the ground. It's not just that. He said, kams, hoarded gold, is that which zakat is not paid upon. Even if it's upon the top of mountains, or it's still kams, hoarded gold. And that whose zakat is paid, it will not be a hoarded treasure, even if it is buried within the earth. So hoarded wealth, or kams, is that whose zakat is not paid. And he quotes the ayah, يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. Surah At-Tawbah, the next ayah, Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, ayah 35, with the explanation. On the day when the hoarded wealth shall be heated in the fire of hell, and their foreheads and their sides and their backs will be branded with it. The Shaykh said, this is a torment and is bodily pain. And they will also receive a torment which affects their hearts as well. So it will be said to them, هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. The explanation, this is what you hoarded up for yourselves, so now taste that which you used to hoard. Shaykh said, so then they will receive bodily torment and torment of the heart by this rebuke, and they're being censured. So what would the heart be like at this hour when it is being said to him, this is what you hoarded for yourself? His heart will be broken apart, so he will have pain upon his body and pain in his heart. That was refuge is sought. He said, this will be the recompense of the one who does not give zakat for gold or silver. He said, and whatever takes the place of gold and silver from with regard to currency has its same ruling. So therefore, whoever has paper money equal to the amount of gold or silver, then it's upon him to pay zakat upon it. And the transactions of people today in all countries, or most countries, are all done using paper currency. So we have a one real note, a 5 real note, a 10 real note, 50 real note, 100 real note, a 500 real note. So these paper notes, they take the place of gold and silver, because they have been put in place of them in the dealings between the people. So if a person owns from paper currency this level of silver, then it's upon him to pay zakat. Meaning if he has 56 riyals, 56 Arabian riyals of silver, it's a certain figure they have, it's not the actual paper riyals, it's a certain different figure, 56 Arabian riyals of silver, then it's upon him to pay zakat. And it is known that the value of silver rises sometimes and lowers sometimes. So the value is to be calculated when the zakat is due. So if it reaches the level, meaning 56 of these special Arabian riyals of silver, it's upon him to pay his zakat. And the level that is due, that he has to pay, is 1/40th upon it. He said, then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned camels and cows and sheep. And he made with regard to the camels, from their right, milking them on the day when they are watered. So when they are taken to the water for being given a drink, then they are milked. And it is customary that they are milked, when they are taken for drink, they're milked, and it is given as charity to those people who are present. So this is from their right, this is from the right that is due. Because camels, they drink a large amount, and then they produce a large amount of milk. So they drink a lot and they produce a large amount of milk. So when they produce this abundant amount of milk, then they have a large excess of milk. So when the poor people come, it is distributed to them. So this is from the right that is due. He said, and he, alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned horses, and that they are three types. Those that will produce reward, those that are a screen, and those that produce a burden of sin. And as for donkeys, then he said, nothing has been sent down to me concerning them, except for this comprehensive, singular ayah. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. The last two ayahs of Surah Al-Zalzala, as we had before, ayah 7 and 8, the explanation, so whoever sees, or whoever does, the weight of a speck of good, he will see it. And whoever does the weight of a speck of evil, he will see it. Sheikh said, so if donkeys are used for a good purpose, then it is something good. And if they are used by a person for something evil, then it will be evil. And Allah is the one who grants success. And that's the end of the chapter of the virtue of zakat. The next chapter that follows is with regard to the virtue of fasting. الحمد لله صلى الله على محمد سبحانه الله وبركاته أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.